Please be seated. A question that may seem obvious to some of you and startling to the rest of you. I promise no judgment will be offered at the end of this. Now you're all scared, I'm sorry. How many people have a book, a prayer book, one of the either the BCP or the BAS at home? Okay. If you don't, we have a lot. So if I ask that question, you're like, oh, but I should get one. We have a lot. See me after the church and we can send you home with one of either or both even. We have a lot. We don't use them every week. If you are going to, if you would like to have one at home to use, we can help you with that. The prayer book of the Anglican Church has always been a really great resource. There's prayers for morning, for noon, prayers for evening. There are different graces in here. But I wanted to take a minute, and all of you should have one in front of or near you. Would you take your book out and open it to page 675, please? I think I've drawn attention to this area before. This is an area sort of towards the back of the prayer book. There's some psalms afterwards. Psalms are also great prayers, by the way, where we've included some other prayers, things that maybe we don't use every week during Eucharist or that could be used during morning prayer but aren't, are sort of intended for special things. So if you've ever wondered and you know, a prayer for people who are unemployed. This might be a really good prayer to add to your prayer life right now in Alberta, where, you know, the economy could be a little better and people could use some jobs. There's prayers for those who are in mental distress, for those suffering addiction. There are prayers for birthdays. There are some blessings and some graces in here. We're actually going to spend a little bit of time with sort of the first three or four prayers here on page 767. As hopefully sounds familiar to many of you, we have our annual meeting next week. This is a meeting of the church, and there's a prayer for that back here. Shocking. Or not. Here it's listed as a prayer for a synod. It goes, Almighty and ever-living God, source of all wisdom and understanding, be present with those who take counsel. And that sort of thing in parentheses means it's optional. You can keep going or you can stop there. So in the case of our annual meeting, we'd say, be present with those who take counsel in St. Peter's. Or that could be in the Diocese of Edmonton. That could be in the Anglican Church of Canada. For the renewal and mission of your church, teach us in all things to seek first your honor and glory. Guide us to perceive what is right, and grant us both the courage to pursue it and the grace to accomplishment. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There's some really neat prayers in here, and if you are ever bored, boring sermons happen. Maybe the Eucharist, you're just not in sync with the way the church is praying that day. It is worth spending some time, or, you know, you're stuck at home and this is the book you're stuck with, or you're really interested and you want to read through some of these. It's worth reading through them because we've given them titles, and sometimes the titles don't match well with the words. So there might be a word or a phrase in a prayer you would not otherwise use that could be perfect for you in some part of your life. And it is worth finding out if that is true. I wanted to highlight the one for a church meeting, because we have a church meeting. There's nothing horrible or disastrous. We're not discussing, you know, if the church is going to stay open. We're going to keep doing good things. But that doesn't mean we don't need some prayer to make sure we're doing the best things, the things God would most like us to do. So if you are willing this week, I would ask that you pray for us. I hope you do generally, but specifically for the annual meeting. Again, not that there's anything to be worried about, but just that we do the best job we can do. If you find these prayers sort of fascinating, or if you've found yourself sort of intrigued by what's going on in the collect, that prayer we say together at the towards the beginning of the service, there is a podcast out there. There is, in fact, a podcast for everything. This is called The Collect Call. I'll put a link in the email newsletter. And they have gone through their past work includes all of the weekly collects as the Episcopal Church prays them, so sometimes there's some slight variations. But they've started going through and doing some of these prayers, some of the prayers for Saints' Days, and many of these are prayers we do share with the Episcopal Church. And one of my favorite things about that podcast is it's two lay people. So if you're worried that it's someone with sort of like a seminary background who's going to start saying, well, in the 1500s, these are two lay people who've done a lot of research and are really intrigued by them. So I'll put that link in the email newsletter. Please pray for us. Please pray for us generally. Please pray for us this week. That St. Peter's be a place where the mission of God is deeply considered. And if you're not sure how to do that, we have a prayer for you. Okay. This morning, so this passage in Luke that we read for our gospel this morning, I think it is both beautiful and wonderful, and often it's not that we officially misunderstand it, but I think we read something into it that is not there. In Luke's gospel, Jesus has been born, he's been baptized, he's done some sort of like the amateur hour of preaching is sort of how it's presented. That wasn't what it was. But he's kind of known. He has a little bit of a reputation going. And then he goes home. Now, going home is always dangerous for prophets. And the part of the story that we don't read this week is when they try to throw him off a cliff afterwards. What he said was not popular at all. But what he said, I think we often hear it, and what we hear happening here is Jesus gets up in the synagogue and he goes to preach, and what he's calling for is Christianity. Like, he says we have this thing we should be doing, and we hear, and the answer is the Christian church. Which isn't wrong, but what Jesus is doing is reading from the scroll of Isaiah. He's not saying, we're scrapping this Judaism project and we're starting over. Done, time for something new. He's standing in the middle of faithful people and saying, this is what we were supposed to be about the whole time. And he's reading from Isaiah, who is someone who stood in the midst of faithful people and said, this is what we were supposed to be about this whole time. If you go back and you read Isaiah and the prophets and most of the Old Testament, this actually happens all the time. The one we always think of is Moses with the Israelites wandering in the desert, where they're like, we're not sure about this. We think we might want to go back to Egypt. And Moses says, we're supposed to be about something which has nothing to do with slavery in Egypt. We're supposed to be about being a place where the captives are free, where God's love is known to everyone. That's what we're supposed to be about. And in Moses' case, it meant we have to keep going through the desert, people. But that tradition, this tradition of standing among faithful people and calling them back to that thing which usually, as faithful people, we kind of know we're supposed to be doing, but it was hard, and we got tired and burned out. And standing in the midst of them and calling them back to those things, this is what Jesus is doing this morning. Yeah, often if you listen to scholars talking about the Gospel of Luke, they mark this as the beginning of his public ministry. This is the point where he goes from that guy who's been doing those things to the teacher who wanders around and asks Judaism, asks God's people to do those things God's people are supposed to do. This thing that the Christian church is a continuation of. We look at our history, where really you can trace us right back to the Hebrews in the desert with Moses. It was hard. It's hot. We're tired. Can it be easy again? And then someone stands up, in this case, Jesus, and says, we're about release for the captives. We're about feeding the hungry. We're about hope for the poor. That's what we're about here. Even when it's hard, even when we're tired, even when we'd like to go back to when it was easy. We have things that need attending to. There are people who need to be free. There are people who need to be fed. There are people who need to know that God loves them, just like God loves us. Jesus, I think what's actually happening here when Jesus stands up to read from Isaiah, he thought people would understand that. Might be his moment where he's hoped too much and people let them down. No, wait, that kept happening too, remember? We've kept doing this over and over and over again. And our God keeps standing up in the middle of us, pushing someone else to say, remember, there are those things we're supposed to be about. And we know, God knows, it was hard, too much work, we got too tired. We'd like to go back to when it was easy. And even in the middle of that, God loves you. That's why all of this other stuff still needs doing. God loves you. We need to tell other people that. Means there are people who need to be free. There are people who need to be fed. And all of them need to be loved. Amen.